First of all, I couldn't find my sermon a while ago. Isn't it strange how one little thing like a wet shirt sleeve will distract you? But have a Bible turned upside down. So with yours turned right side up, turn to Isaiah chapter 54. We here at New Life Fellowship Church have been in the process of exploring and setting goals. You'll recall a few weeks ago, we were in that area of exaltation, exalting God the Father, exalting Jesus Christ our Savior. And we rejoiced that we could do that. And then we realized that that same scripture that says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and all your strength, says also, love your neighbor like you love yourself. And so we looked at that. And then we looked at that text of equipping. That's the second step in our goals of equipping. And we are making efforts here at New Life Fellowship Church to equip the saints. Now, that we are doing not for the church's sake. Are you with me? There's a higher calling. There's a higher benefit. There's a higher purpose. That for Lord Jesus Christ. He deserves it all. He's worthy of it all. And to show Jimmy he's wrong, amen?
Amen.
All right. Now, if you'll upturn that about two notches the next time, well, okay, he'll really know he's wrong. He'll hear it back there. Okay. Now, and then we are today looking at that aspect of ministry in the church for Christ's sake of enlarging. Listen to this text. Turn with me in your Bible. Stand to honor the Word of God as we read beginning in verse 1. Sing, O barren. How does a barren person sing? Sing, O barren, who have not borne. Let me see. I'll adjust to these lights and do process. Let me get my Bible just right. Okay, here we go. Sing, O barren, you who have no born. Break forth into singing and cry aloud. You who have not labored with child. For more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married woman, says the Lord. Beginning in verse 2. Enlarge the place of your tent. We'll get into that mystery in a moment. Enlarge the place of your tent and let them stretch out the curtains of your dwelling. Do not spare. Now listen, I study that word. Do not spare. Do not, whatever it takes, whatever is required, do not spare. Lengthen your cords and strengthen, my New King James says, your stakes. Some translations say the pegs to your tent ropes. Lengthen your cords, strengthen your stakes, for you shall expand to the right hand, and you shall expand to the left hand. I got it backwards. You shall expand to the right hand. You shall expand to the left hand. Now you got it backwards, see? Okay. And your descendants will inherit the nations and make the desolate cities inhabited. Do not fear. That's a good note. Amen? Do not fear. You will not be ashamed, neither be disgraced. For you'll not be put to shame, for you will forget the shame and your youth and will remember the reproach of your widowhood anymore. For your market maker is your husband. The Lord of hosts is his name. And you, Redeemer of the Holy One of Israel, he is called the God of the whole earth. Father, may if we see anything in this text today, we see the fact that Jehovah God is indeed the Father of all creation, that Jesus Christ is indeed the salvation that has changed, as we have seen pictured here this day in baptism, the directions of our lives, the destiny of our souls. Grant us understanding. May the Holy Spirit reveal, interpret, divine the Word of God to us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Be seated. I had the joy. This is the second time I'm preaching this. Yesterday afternoon, coming back from Ohio on the bus with the basketball team at Indiana Tech, the coach made a mistake. Don't you tell him I said so, but he might have made a couple of three during the game, too. We lost. But he wanted to know what I was preaching today. Well, I think this applies in a different vernacular to the basketball team, too. Listen again. Rejoice. Got it? Sing. Now, in a barren and a desolate situation. Now, folks, let me be honest with you, in my opinion, but not just mine. If it was just mine, I would re-examine and re-examine and re-examine my opinion. But in my opinion, the church in the United States of America is in a desolation, in a hard time. The nation of America is in a hard time. In fact, I believe that the whole world is in a hard time. Did you ever notice how hard it is to sing in the bad times? Sing. Rejoice. That's the livable position. Got me? That's the livable position of a believer. Now here's why. There's just not anything too hard for God to handle. So it makes no difference what your desolation is. You know, here, and by the way, I told you I'd get to it. This place, this habitation, I for a long time read that as a family dwelling, where you live, where you sleep, where you eat. But it's not that at all. Because by the time Isaiah prophesies this, by the inspiration and the direction of God Almighty and His Holy Spirit, the time he prophesies this, the people are living in adobe houses, structured stucco type. And then you say, well, what is it talking about? Stay with me. Stay with me just a little bit. It's talking about something very, very, very spiritual. It is talking about the tabernacle. You remember that place? Moses bringing 2 million people from Egypt out across the wilderness, came to Kadesh Barnea. God has said, this is yours. Boy, don't you wonder about those folks. Here they stand, 2 million strong at Kadesh Barnea, on the very south end of what is called Canaan, the Promised Land. And they send in spies. You know that story, don't you? They send in spies. They came back verifying the very thing that God said would be. Now, hang on to that thought. Verifying it. Came back. Oh, it is what God said. It is a place filled with milk and honey. They came back carrying on a pole on their shoulder one cluster of grapes, because one man, you ever pick grapes? You reach up in the vine and you break off a cluster of bunch. And they're about, if they're really, really good grapes, they're about that long, about that big around. They had them on a pole, and it took two guys to carry them. Now, that's grape land, right? That's what God said it would be. They said, full of milk and honey. We won't get into the details of what milk and honey means there, but it's everything. Listen to me. It is everything God said it would be. Amen. And I'm sitting here wondering, what in the world is wrong with those people? They turn it down because of desolation. Now, their desolation was this. 10 of those guys say, But. You got that word? It's spelled B-U-T. Now let me give you an old farm adage. Down on the farm where I came from, goats, but. Got it? You don't dare turn your back on old Billy. He'll nail you every time. Sheep don't butt. But there's giants in that land. It's just filled with giants. Right or wrong, folks? Is it filled with giants? No. There's just one city. You remember old Caleb? He was 40-year-old then. And he said, I tell you what, if you'll just forget all this other stuff you're voting on, you let me loose, I'll go take care of those giants. I mean, now listen, you're talking about desolation. They had a fortified wall. They were a fortified city. They had soldiers that were fighting men. And Caleb said, I'll get them. By the way, I won't give you the rest of the story. 40 years later, Caleb's 80-year-old. You know what he says? Heck, I'm just as able now as I was when I was 40. Turn me loose. And they did. And he wiped that bunch out. I wish I knew how, but he wiped them out. Here's my point. Now listen to me. I stand here this morning with this precious, precious book in my hand. Some thoughts are crossing my mind. It probably oughtn't to cross there. But anyway, I've been preaching this book for 61, almost 62 years. And I have never found one hint, even a slight hint of an untruth in it. It's for real, folks. Every time, now I didn't try it every time I should have, but every time I've tried this book, it's proven true. Amen? Did you ever find it not true? Okay. You know what this book says? Listen carefully. Don't go to sleep just yet. With a heart, you believe into righteousness. With a mouth, just like these did this morning, you confess Jesus Christ as Savior. Jesus himself said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life, and no man comes to the Father but by me. Paul said in the book of Ephesians chapter 2 beginning in verse 8, with a heart, no, I got that wrong. What saith it? I get it. What saith it? This word, truth is near you. Even in your heart and in your mouth, that is the word of faith that we preach, that if you'll confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart, you'll be saved. For by grace, you're saved through faith. And that's not of yourself, it's of Christ. It's of faith. So, I can set you down if you still have doubts and show you these word for word, as can many, many others in this auditorium. Now, what are we talking about? What is this thing called salvation? I think you don't understand that. Many, many people don't. A lot of people say, well, I'm a member of the church. You know, every once in a while, one of them will dare get real bold and say, well, I'm a Baptist. You know what that'll get you? Nothing. Jesus said, I'm the only way, I'm the only truth. No one comes to the Father but by me. He'll get you everything. A new life, but more than a new life. A life filled with joy and victory and faith. Don't you just love to walk by faith? Do you? Okay, now, some of you sit here this morning in the sound of my voice, and you don't know that salvation. But I'm offering it to you. All you got to do is just ask, and you'll receive, seek, and you'll find. Knock, and it's open to you. Matthew chapter 7. Why would you turn it down? I can't think of one single reason why you wouldn't rush down there right now. And by the way, if you feel like it, do it. and say, please pray with me. I want to invite Jesus into my heart. We will stop everything going on. That's how important it is, and do it right now. Now then, he says, I want you to enlarge. And by the way, there are some similarities to this. Now, I want you to understand something. This is not the church. This is the church house. It's the meeting place. But this and 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 this is the church, the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, whom he inhabits, whom he blesses, whom he gives anything you ask for, okay? Enlarge that place as we are referring to the temple in the wilderness, to the tabernacle. Now, by the way, I must put this in. Would it be all right if I go maybe 4 or 5 minutes over since we had the baptisms? Okay? How many of you allow that? Oh, golly, I've got 5, 5, 5. I got 60 minutes extra here. Okay. Now, the strangest thing about this message that Isaiah is prophesying is this. It's near in desolation. I.e., let me explain it to you. Church is not even full now. Look, it's half full. And it make it bigger? Well, if the Bible says it, I suspect, and we suspect because we have started, we are in a goal fulfilling time in New Life Fellowship Church. Yes, let's make it bigger. Now, well, preacher, where are we going to build? We got all this empty space. No, you got it wrong. Make the ministries bigger. Now, if you're not acquainted with church stuff, and by the way, let me tell you, church has got a lot of stuff. But if you're not acquainted with church stuff, let me tell you, there's a rhetoric going around that says this. 80%, I got it wrong, backwards. 20% of the people in the church do 80% of the work. And 80% of the work people do 20% of the giving. Now, that same application, by the way, is made to the giving in the church, to the work in the church, to the support of the church in person. Now then, so let's enlarge that number. Let's enlarge the number of doers. Oh, let me tell you, folks, if you're not a doer, and the Bible warns about not being a doer of the word and a hearer of the word only, but if you're not a doer in church, you're missing it. Ashley, stand up. Would you testify that worship, leading, praise in this church is a blessing? Okay. Bob, stand up. Would you testify that every effort you go through to be a part of this church and its ministry is good?
Yes.
Okay. Alex, stay seated. Alex, would you testify? You don't have to stand up. Would you testify that your ministry at the sound system is a glorious ministry that blesses your heart? Okay. Now I could go on. Brother Randy, I can go on, all of you. Now, I'm trying to find somebody that does just a little bit. If you're not a doer, you're just missing it. Okay, let's enlarge the doing. Okay, now, since we've already pointed out a very, very obvious attendance, we're just not. Boy, they changed these lights. Do I look good in these lights? If we don't, let's turn the suckers off. We're only about half full if we're that much. So maybe we ought to enlarge the attendance. We'll talk about that next Sunday. Don't dare miss it. What a blessed that'll be to you. Okay, now then, let's go on. Let's enlarge the place of your habitation. I slipped up and said it a moment ago that a certain small percentage of the attendance gives 80% of the giving, support, financial support for the church. Do you know what? I discovered something a long time ago in those early years of my ministry. Those lights don't burn on nothing. It would just blow your doors off. Are you acquainted with that expression? If you knew what the electric bill here is, and the heat bill here is, what the utilities are. And by the way, Brother Dan, stand up. Is it a blessing to you to be a part of paying the bills? Okay, thank you. Brother Ed, stand up. Are you blessed because you can be a part of that ministry of the church and supported it financially? Okay, thank you. You see, and I could go on and on and on. I want to tell you something. Listen, it is. Today, because my wife's not here, and she's the real giver in our family, I'm going to pull out of my pocket here, my vest pocket, where she put it, our tithe. And I want you to know when I give it, I say, thank you, Jesus, in my heart. Thank you, Jesus. When she gives it, thank you, Lord, that you allow me this little bitty part. It's such a blessing to know I'm a part of the ministry of New Life Fellowship Church. Now, you can go home and say, I really thought I was going to lock that church, but that preacher got back on money again. No, he didn't. He got back on blessings again. It's a blessing, folks. If you haven't tried it, try it. By the way, I was asked this past week, has anybody taken, they didn't come to me, did you go to him? Have anybody taken Dr. Dorsey up on his proposition? You remember when he was here in the revival? You remember what he said? You know, he said you get to give, give, to give, get. He said to you, now you try this for 3 months. You tithe of your income, and then if you think it's not a blessing, if it's not worth it, he'll give you your money back. And by the way, he's got a big enough stash to do that. Don't come to me, but I will direct you to him. I believe that, though. Oh, it's such a joy. Now, that is enlarging. Now, let's look. And lengthen the cords. That's those ropes that ran from the top post of the tabernacle in the wilderness down to the ground, pegged into the ground to support it because, you know, it's just a bunch of curtains hanging up in the air. And by the way, I know this about, I've camped a lot. My wife likes to camp out at the Hollow Dome. We did that once just to please her. The boys and I, we like to camp out in the wilderness. Now, if it wasn't going to blow any wind, wasn't going to come any rain and any storms, throw the old tent up any way you want to. But if the wind's going to blow, the storm's going to come, you better get it right. Lengthen. The further out you go, the more durable the tent is. When you get them down like this, and a little wind, jerk the pegs right out of the ground, but you stick them out there. Listen, there's some things in this church that we need to lengthen. That just simply means we need to go on with it. Sunday school, well, that's a little old-fashioned. And none of us want to be old-fashioned, right? I know, I can't help it. I'm that old, but you don't want to be old-fashioned. We need to lengthen our Bible study teaching program. Listen, you're missing it if you're not in a organized Bible study program like Brother Ed has back there at his Sunday school at 9:30. I'll get it, okay. or that Brother Dan has right back there in his Sunday school, or that the children have downstairs, or that the youth have. If you're not a part of one of those, you're just cheating the fire out of yourself. Because, you see, Bible study is such a wonderful experience. Brother Dan and I got into one this morning. Boy, we worked that baby over good. And by what we learned. Now, so that's a cord that we can link with. Women's ministry, the joy ministry, those are cords that we need to stretch out and strengthen and lengthen. And then we strengthen the stakes. Any of you ever been in northern Michigan? Did you ever camp there? You get up there in that sand, and all your tent stake doesn't need to be over that long because it's such soft sand. That old stake will just flip out of the ground before you know it. Peggy Lorraine and I were with a group of youth on a mission trip in Big Rapids, Michigan, in a county park, and it came a tornado. And that's the only time in my life I ever praised God that I was fat. Because that tent just done all kinds of things. And when the storm had blown, and by the way, it did not have this kind of thing. It had that frame inside, you know. No, it was outside. The frame was outside. That old tent just pushed out on that. But I'm just the old-fashioned kind of guy. I wanted some stakes and some cords on my tent, and I put them on there. And man, I'm telling you, I know that at a time or two, that tent came 3 foot off the ground. Yeah, whatever, listen to me, whatever is required, that's the stake we need to strengthen. We're doing things. We are getting ready to drive a long peg in the ground. We're going to have a serving ministry. I talked to you about that a moment ago. It's going to call yoke servants. These yoke servants are going to help us keep a touch with our congregation and their needs and their ministries. And if you're not here, you'll get a call. Somebody will contact you. Want to know how sick you are? Want to know how desperate and desolated you are? Listen, and we go on and on and on. Men's ministry starting up pretty soon. Youth ministry just needs a stronger stake. Joy ministry, children's ministry, and then our one anchor. I really think this is the anchor. Our Wednesday night ministry. Now listen to me, folks, for just a minute. That clock, somebody kicked it in high gear. But listen. That's private. Okay, listen to me. On Wednesday night, we have 3 or 4 divisions of study. And we have 3 or 4 seasoned and capable teachers who lead in those studies, making you a more capable, making you a stronger witness, making you a better servant of the Lord's church. I don't see how in the world, if you're not providentially hindered, you could dare not be a part of that growth ministry. See, we're talking now about enlarging and expanding. And I think as much as anything, if we would pay attention to it. And so because I think that, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to call on you. Are you listening? I'm going to call on you to make up your mind, to be determined to say, hey, I'm going to be a part of that Sunday morning Bible teaching program. Hey, I'm going to be a part of that Wednesday night believer development program. Folks, what this text has said is, no matter how desolate it looks, you're not desolate. Get busy. Enlarge the place of your habitation. Lengthen the cords of your ministry. Strengthen the support for your ministry. And be not despaired. God still knows you. Amen? Amen? Now, I don't know what God has said to you in this text today. Now, I do know, by the way, I do know what he said to me. Believe it or not, preachers usually make a whole lot of commitments while they're standing there preaching, because they preach to themselves as much as they preach to anyone else. And I don't know what he said to you, but I'll tell you this. I can guarantee, Andy Griffin says, I will guarantee it. If you were listening, he said something. If you were listening, he said something. I'm going to ask you to stand. We're in the goal-setting process of exalting the Lord Jesus. I hope you do that this morning. We're in the goal-setting process of enlarging what we're doing. Now we're in the goal-setting process of equipping. Whatever your need is, and I don't want to try to tell you, because God may spoke to you about something totally irrelevant to anything I said, but His Word's that way. We want to offer you an opportunity to come down here. You can pray here. You can come to me or Randy or any of us, and we'll pray with you.